Hi, this is David Phillips at The Contending, here to welcome you to a special water cooler podcast. My guest today is Marissa Abela from Industry. Marissa gave one of the best performances of the year on the show and is being considered in the Best Supporting Actress category for the Emmys. Please enjoy.
I'm really excited to meet you because I'm one of those people, this is a confession, I will start with my confession. I'm like right. many of those people who got to Industry late. It was over this holiday season. I was looking for something to watch as everything slows down. I was like, why didn't I ever stick with Industry? I'd like watch one or two episodes. It was interesting. I didn't hang in there though. Mm. And then over the next 2 weeks, I watched all three seasons and lost a ton of sleep, but it was worth it. So my question for you is, I understand this is not, I'm not alone in this. So to being a part of a show that has like this sort of a slow burn of discovery, what has it been like to be a part of that?
It's been amazing to watch people, you know, come to the show and enjoy it. Later on, I think, to be honest, it was kind of a relief that we got to figure it out for ourselves. We were all, you know, it was Mickey and Conrad's first ever TV show. It was my first job as an actor, and it was the same for a lot of us in the cast. So I think that it was really amazing to get to kind of like quietly enjoy this show and discover these characters and be really bold and really brave with our performances and with the writing and with the storylines, because we didn't feel that like pressure of having to please anyone. I think that part of the reason people love the show is because it's got this kind of like culty, slightly like anarchic vibe to it, and I think that that is because we never felt we never felt like it was in service to an audience that we didn't understand from an early stage. So I think that in a way now, the fact that people have come onto it late, the show now is what it is. So doing seasons 4 or 5, when we know that we have a bigger audience, it doesn't feel like, oh gosh, I hope they like it, because it just, it is what it is, you know? So, it's like kind of, I guess it's kind of like adopting a dog, right? Like as like an adult rather than a puppy, like, you know what you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
Like its habits are like, there.
Well, you know, and you mentioned something in your answer. It really is one of the least safe shows on television. I think we watch a lot of television right now, or even in film, where there's a lot of holding back. And it's, I think, you know, just to state it, particularly the way this show is very sex forward, I think is unusual in our day and time, where that's kind of regressed. Was it when you came onto the show, and there are a lot of scenes that are very intimate and could be potentially be challenging, did you like, I just got to jump into this?
Yes, I think so. I mean, to be honest, you know, it was in my contract, and I was just like, okay, that's a part of it. But like, I always felt very safe. I always knew that like, if there was something I didn't want to do, I wouldn't have to do it. But I think that like tonally, I felt what the show was. It was like thumping and it was like a club, you know, it was intense and it was young and it was sexy, like, and not sexy in a kind of like sheeny, fake, porny way. And like, these are young people, like, of course they're having sex, like that is a part of it. I loved that relationship with Robert, and so I think it was really easy to motivate at that point. Like, you know, most of my intimate stuff in season one was with, or like in service of my relationship, Yasmin's relationship with Robert, and I think that it was such a kind of interesting dynamic to play that I was just excited for those scenes. You know, there was a scene where like Yasmin takes her knickers off in the bathroom and gives them to him, and there was no nudity required in that scene, but I thought it was like so sensual and so exciting to kind of like play this dynamic of like, you know, what does this character look like? I mean, it's hard to talk about Yasmin in season one because she's changed so much now, but just season one Yasmin, this young woman who is like incredibly sexually confident, that is like, you know, then, and like wanting to like have control over this boy because she has no control in her work life, what does that look like? That in itself was just super exciting to play for me. So I think that what the actual like revealing nature of those intimate scenes was kind of came secondary to the to this kind of character development, I guess.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because here's the point where either my interpretation of Yasmin is way off and you're going to correct me, or if we're going to find ourselves in the same spot. But a part of Yasmin that I've always felt from watching the show is that there's a little bit of an imposter syndrome. She came from wealth.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to work herself through the hard way, but when there are opportunities to take a shortcut, she can't resist them. Whether whether it's marrying Henry, whether it's becoming the power behind the throne that she does later on, these things, I think she's constantly being pulled back to, I don't know if I believe in myself to do it the hard way. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that Yasmin doesn't believe that there is any other option than the option that's right in front of her right now. I think that that is like a survival tactic. Mm-hmm. I think that, I like to kind of think of it a bit like, you know, if there's like devastation all around Yasmin, that's how she sees the world. There is no safe branch to cling on to, except for the one that I'm holding right now, and even that, like, I don't trust very much. If I see a branch that looks sturdier, I'm jumping. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just who she is. We've seen that from season one. I think it becomes clearer why the instruction of her father as a character becomes much clearer as to why she does not feel safe anywhere. And I think it just gets... that fear gets deeper and deeper and deeper throughout the different seasons. And I think that Mickey and Conrad do a very good job of justifying it within plot or within, you know, backstory, but I think that it's my job as an actor to also motivate it, you know, to make it feel understandable. And, you know, when those two things come together, it's amazing. So whether that's Henry saying something to her at the end of episode two in season four, like, maybe we should try for a family after, like, the episode from hell, that's her feeling like the branch snap a little bit, and from that moment she's like looking for another way out. And I think, again, you know, when everything starts to fall with Tender, that is just, she's acting from a place of desperation, and she doesn't care if that tree is like rotten, disgusting, horrible. Like, she's getting on it, like, as if it's the safe place for her to be. That's where you're going to find her. So I think that is where that comes from. You know, there's a moment in episode seven, I think it is, episode seven with Harper, where Harper says to her, or maybe it's six, but Harper says to her, why do you feel like you always need to be, you know, that you're not necessary or whatever? And Yasmin says, I guess I grew up at someone else's mercy, and breaks down. And that moment was so important for me to remind the audience that, like, this is why Yasmin is desperate. This is why she acts in the way that she acts. Because I knew where we were going in episode eight. So it was so important to me to have that final moment, which I guess is a kind of plea to an audience to understand where Yasmin is about to go.
Well, and the relationship between Yasmin and Harper has become so, I think, the kind of the core of the show to me, with all that's going on in it. And they come from such different worlds. You know, Harper really mm-hmm. has had to scratch and claw and scheme in a completely different way than Yasmin has. What is it like working with Mahela? You two seem to get along so well on Instagram, but the relationship is can be very, on screen, can be either very warm or very fractious, and you keep going between these two extremes.
I mean, it's an amazing dynamic to play, and also working with Mahela is just one of the great privileges and joys of doing this show. She's such a phenomenal actress. We have a lot of respect for each other as actors, and I think that we're just very excited whenever we see that we get to work together, you know. And I think that Harper is always kind of like in Yasmin's consciousness, and I would say I think that Yasmin is in Harper's as well, but when they're together, it's just really palpable. We have great chemistry as actors, and the characters, you know, the dynamic is so rich. these are kind of two characters now, one of the only two characters that are still here from season one. So the history is baked in. We see the girls on the trading floor in season one when we look at them in season four and they're talking to each other, you know, no matter how many like power suits they both try and put on now, they see each other for who they really are. There's no sort of costume dressing when it comes to Yasmin and Harper. So I think that's what's really nice for an audience as well. An audience that has seen these two from season one, to have another character in the show understand that person in the way that the audience understands them. You know, Harper knows more about Yasmin than Henry does because he only came in season three. She's known her for longer. And, you know, same with now, Yasmin is a very different person to Hayley, to who Yasmin is to Harper and to the audience. So it's kind of those scenes are kind of sort of Trojan horse scenes, which are, there are no pretenses. We can't lie here because we've known each other for as long as the show has existed.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, it's kind of speaking to the show and the relationships, your relationship with Kit Harington's character, Henry, who Yasmin marries. That the show takes some chances in seasons four. We're very used to very kinetic editing in those in first seasons one through three, I think. And then there is the scene where you and Kit as Henry have a blow up, a marital blow up, the unedited costume party scene, which is, I think, like 4 minutes long of you guys just doing it, right? I mean, going at each other. What was it like to shoot that scene? Because that really is a little bit of an outlier in the series.
It really is. I mean, Mickey Comrade said on the day that they wanted to try and do it in one take. And I mean, it's like six pages or something. And we're like, oh my gosh. But actually, in a way, obviously what that means is you're going to do it way less times. So I think we only did it like three or four times, something like that. And I knew, I think from the second I read that script, I started learning that scene just because I thought this is so good, so rich. I just wanted these words to be like flying out of me. It's what Yasmin has wanted to say to him for the last year of their marriage. So it's going to be so easy. It's going to be on the tip of my tongue, those like awful things to say. You know, there were lots of choices to be made. For example, there's a moment where Yasmin goes to, she like puts her hand up and as if she's going to hit Henry in the script. I think that was a slap. And we all decided that it would be more interesting if she goes and he flinches. There's actually something even more kind of disturbing about that. And I think that, you know, it was just so great. I mean, I think that's one of my favorite modes to play Yasmin in.
Recording
is when
in progress.
Unleashed. Is just when she's going crazy on him. I love to play her when she's saying those sort of vitriolic things, which she really can say. She can be so mean and cutting. Yeah, it was a great day.
and another scene that I loved, and I think this speaks to Yasmin's season four, where she's going along and she's becoming very confident in this role, like I said, of the power behind the throne kind of thing, right? And then that scene with Hayley on the elevator, where Hayley is Kieran Shipka flips the script on her, and the expression on your face—I mean, you don't say a single word, but you just like you, this coming to realize that you're not playing the game you thought you were.
Totally. Well, I think that's it's such an important moment in the season for Yasmin, because that relationship with Hayley is one of the places where Yasmin does feel like she has like full control. You know, I think Yasmin thinks she's far smarter than Hayley, and that Hayley needs her, and she feels so comfortable in this one relationship where she kind of holds all the cards. And so when that's taken away from her in that moment, it's devastating, but there is also a kind of respect for Hayley in that moment. And I think that, you know, it just kind of pulls the rug out, and it shows her like, oh, I haven't had any idea what's been going on here at all the entire time. I mean, whether that's just in the relationship with Hayley or with Tender as a whole, I think it really makes her sort of question everything. It was so fun to play, and there's also a scene in that episode where you know, Yasmin, where Haley comes up to me and says, I think I feel a bit weird about what we did in Austria with your husband. And that was a really important scene for me because it's the first sort of foreshadowing of what we're going to see in episode 8 when Yasmin sort of tells her, you wanted that. Mm-hmm. You know, no one had a gun to your head. Like, don't sort of change the... Don't change your feelings in a sort of reactionary sense. You enjoyed yourself. And we see the ability of Yasmin to have this kind of coercive control over someone, whether it's true or not. I mean, obviously, Yasmin at that point doesn't know what Haley does in the elevator later on. So that was a really important moment for me. It was one of the only moments that I got to kind of like dive into where I knew that we were going. And motivate it in a way where the audience could feel a bit uncomfortable and not quite know what happened there, so that episode 8 doesn't come out of completely nowhere.
But episode 8 is devastating because Yasmin is, you know, I know this has been bandied about a lot, that it's like a Ghislaine Maxwell kind of move, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is, you know, functional and easy. But the character of Yasmin now is taking control in a different way. But she's sort mm-hmm. of seeing herself, and I think Harper confronts her in a way that it makes her think, is this really who I wanted to be? Is this who I want to turn
out? Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Yasmin is asking those big existential questions of herself at mm-hmm. all, ever, really. I, as the season has gone on, I think, as I said, she acts in an incredibly impulsive sort of survivalistic sense, and I think that is what that final episode is about. I don't think she, you know, people have asked me, like, do you think that she's operating in any way with a moral compass in that? And I just honestly think the answer is no. I don't think that is her priority at the end of the season. I think that unfortunately we've gotten to a place where we have seen the collapse of Yasmin's integrity and Yasmin's empathy and her ability to act with humanity and kindness in any way. I think that she is in full-blown self-preservation mode, and it's, you know, it's kind of terrifying to watch. It's very sad to watch, and it was very sad to play. I was, you know, I was like, I kind of upset when I heard what the story was going to be, but then very quickly I just knew it was my job to motivate it in the most sort of like understandable way possible. How did we get to this place? Not only this season, but looking back over the previous four seasons, what can I possibly draw on to make an audience feel like this is insane, but also I see it. I believe it. I believe it doesn't feel sort of like soapy or outlandish in any way. It was really my job to try and motivate what felt kind of unmotivatable at that point.
You know, and speaking to, you know, you're working on the fifth season is going to come up. It'll be the final season.
Yeah.
When you think about season one to what you're about to do in season five and how young you were when you started, not that you're, you know, ancient now or anything. But I mean, you know, like your growth as an actor, I mean, it has to feel enormous to have gone through all these stages with Yasmin.
It really does. It really does feel enormous. I mean, it feels, obviously, it's the biggest privilege to have gotten to be a part of this show and to be a part of telling this story. But I think that, you know, who Yasmin has become, none of us could have ever imagined. And I think when Mickey and Conrad wrote season one and didn't have any idea that I even existed, let alone that I was going to be playing Yasmin, I don't think they would have, if you said to them, okay, you're going to get five seasons, where do you think Yasmin ends up? I mean, there's no way in hell that they would come to that place. So it's a testament to, you know, I guess our collaborative working relationship that we like created this person, this very, very complicated and nuanced and just like the scope of what it is that she is capable of doing on this show is so huge. I just don't think that anything is off the table for her. And for that reason, it's been like the greatest pleasure, honor, and like joy to play Yasmin.
my last question for you, because I know you got to run. I interviewed Kyle Trainer for the show. The editor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he said you had a particular skill that he had to like resist the temptation to overuse. And that was what I call the Denzel Washington single tear skill, where you can make just one tear drop. Not the other eye stays, you know, it holds on to the tear, but the one.
Yeah.
So he actually said it's an amazing skill, but he said we had to avoid overusing it because she can call upon it so easily. How do you do that?
I don't know because obviously like it, I guess it's an emotional season and it's a very emotional, you're in a you know, there's adrenaline, you're kind of hyped up doing the scene, you want to get it right. And I think, I don't know, I mean, it's just like, I guess it's the same as asking, like, how do you get angry? How do you get, like, how do you get happy? How do you, it's something to motivate. Of course, there's like a technical side of it, like technically being able to cry on cue. But having said that, like, I'm not very good at like just in the, I can do it in the middle of a scene. If I'm working and throughout the scene, something's happening that makes me cry, that I can do. If I just like sort of walk in and go like cry, I mean, I find that very difficult. You know, it's about like listening and engaging and being present with what is actually going on around you.
Trick with just the one though? What's the trick with just the one tier?
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it is just a single tear. I don't know. I mean, in my head, it's just crying. Because the worst thing is that when the camera's on this side and you're doing a scene in New York and you cry and it's all coming out of this side and no one will ever know. But I don't know. If that is true, I haven't been aware of it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's wrap up here. By the way, loved you in Black Bag, and I can't wait.
Oh, thank you.
And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much,
to meet you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.